Welcome to another edition of In the Pines, a concert program of folk and acoustic music performed and recorded in Upper Michigan and throughout the Great Lakes region. I'm Bill Hart. Among the major figures in the preservation of American folk music are those who've been able to display both scholarly acumen and the talent to perform the songs they've collected in a style appropriate to its origins. Gene Ritchie is one of those rare individuals. Born the youngest of 14 children in the little Appalachian town of Viper, Kentucky, Gene absorbed the music handed down through her family, friends, and neighbors, and she began performing after being discovered by folklorist Alan Lomax, teaching those songs to children as a New York social worker. In 1952, she won a Fulbright scholarship to research the origins of American songs in Great Britain, and from there, she began to add credentials as an author, actress, and of course, a concert performer. We'll join the audience at the 12th Annual Hiawatha Traditional Music Festival as we enjoy a set from Gene Ritchie.
Mom and Dad, they were married just before the turn of the century, I guess about 1894. And my mother and dad are both dead now, but they had 14 children. And there was May, Ollie, Mally, Junie, Raylan, Kitty, Truman, Patty, Edna, Jewel, Opal, Pauline, Wilmer, and Jean. And I'm number 14, almost didn't get here, but I'm Jean. So our memories and our songs span a whole century. And but we've loved the old songs, and we've kept on singing them instead of going on and doing more modern things. Of course, we know modern music and we love it. But when we get together to sing, it's the old songs, old family songs we sing. And here's one that's from the old folks. It's a song that nobody ever played any accompaniment to. They just sang it when they were walking up and down the road to keep themselves company. It's called Lovin' Hannah from my father. I rode to church last Sunday, my true love passed me by. I knew her mind was a-changing by the roving of her eye, by the roving of her eye, by the roving of her eye. By the roving of her eyes, my love is fair and proper, her hands and feet are small, and she is quite good looking, and that's the best of all. Oh, Hannah, loving come give to me your hand. You said if you ever married that I would be the man. I'll go down by the water when everyone is asleep. I'll think of loving Hannah and then sit down and weep. I wished I was in London or some other seaport town. I'll set my foot on a bally boat and I'll sail them seas all around. I'll sail them seas all around. I'll sail them seas all around. I'll set my foot on a bally boat and I'll sail them seas all around. Dad plowed and hunted, put meat on the table, took care of the mule and the cow, pigs and chickens, just a little semi-subsistence farm there in the mountains. And Mom, her job was raising the children and and tending to the garden. And she loved being in the garden. She said the children weren't much trouble after the first five. You just turn the babies over to the older ones and you can go on about your gardening. But Mom had one little job that was outside the family. Once in a while, the postmaster would get sick, and they'd send for Abby Ritchie, because she could read and write, to come down and take the place of the postmaster for the day. And so she'd go down to the post office. She'd come back in the evening, be all grinning, saying, gee, I learned so much today. A lot of little papers and newspapers I read. Of course, I guess she read people's postcards, too, you know. And so she'd come all full of news. And I wasn't born then, before I was born. They told me this story. That one night, she came in, and she was all excited. And she said, youngins, they were playing a little game in the house. And she said, youngins, you know that little game we play, going goodbye, girls, I'm going to Boston? And the youngins said, yeah. And she said, well, I learned something today. There's a little paper come through, and I learned that there was a Boston in the United States, too. Got this instrument in the family because Dad remembers the first one and some of the older girls, but May and Ollie and Mally and Union, all those remember the first instrument came in to the mountains there. They always had just sung things and clapped their hands and made rhythm for the dances and so on. You did everything vocally. First instrument came in was the dulcimer, and you can imagine that this sound coming out all of a sudden, it was like hearing a rock band to some people now. It was such a big change and so unusual. But after a while, I got so I could use the dulcimer to accompany songs. I'm going to sing you an old ballad called Lord Thomas and Fair Ellender. In the wintertime, we sat around the fire and told the old Jack tales and the old legends and fairy stories. And in summertime, we sang them. We went out on the front porch after the supper was over and the bath in the river, little bit of supper. We didn't have a big supper. We had dinner in the middle of the day. That was our big meal. And then supper was just like mush and milk or cornbread crumbled into milk, something simple. Then we'd all get out and sit with each other. There wasn't any other families around too close. And just talk over the day's happenings and sing. And we'd sing stories. And this is one of the stories that got sung a lot. Most of them were tragic. The Lord Thomas and Fair Ellender, everybody dies in the end. And most of the old ballads, everybody got their heads chopped off or they're stabbed in the heart or something like that. But we didn't think of them as violent things. We thought of them as beautiful old love songs. And Mama would call them old-timey love songs. And one or two of them were happy and had happy endings, but this is not one of them. She's sometimes called the brown girl because she had dark complexion and dark hair, and I guess she was the Scottish girl. Lord Thomas and Fair Ellender. And how exciting it was to think about lords and ladies and castles and things like that just sitting on our little cabin porch. Oh, mother, come riddle it down. Come riddle two hearts as one. Oh, must I marry Fair Ellender Spang or bring the brown girl home? Now the brown girl, she's got houses and land. Fair Ellender, she's got none. So the best advice I can give you, my son, is go bring me the brown girl home. He rode till he came to Fair Ellender's gate. He tingled the bell with his cane. No one was so ready as Fair Ellender herself to arise and bid him come in. Oh, what's the news, Lord Thomas, she cried. What's the news you bring to me? I come to ask you to my wedding. Now what do you think of me? Oh mother, come riddle it down. Come riddle two hearts as one. Oh, must I go to Lord Thomas's wedding or stay at home and mourn? Well, the brown girl, she's got business there, and you know that you've got none. So the best advice I can give you, my daughter, is to stay at home and mourn. She dressed herself in a snow white dress, and her maid she dressed in green, and every town that they rode to, folks took her to be some queen. She rode till she came to Lord Thomas's house. She pulled all in her rein. No one was so ready as Lord Thomas himself to arise and bid her come in. He took her by the lily white head. He led her through the hall. He seated her down in a rocking chair, there amongst those ladies all. Is this your bride, Lord Thomas, she cried. He looks so wonderful brown. You once should have married the fairest young lady that ever the sun shined on. Oh, dispraise her not, Lord Thomas did cry. Oh, dispraise her not to me. For I think more of your little fingers than of the brown girl's whole body. Now the brown girl's having a little thin knife, and its blade being keen and sharp. Betwixt the short ribs and the long, pierced Fair Ellender to the heart. Oh, what's the matter, Lord Thomas? he drew his sword from his side. As he came through the hall, he cut off the head of his bonny brown bride, and he kicked it against the wall. Then placing the handle towards the wall, and the blade towards his heart, said, did you ever see three true lovers meet? That had so soon to part. Oh, mother, go dig my grave, and dig it both wide and deep, and bury Sarah Ellender in my arms, and the brown girl at my years ago, more now, maybe 125 or so. Men came from the northern cities, from Detroit, from New York, from up Hamilton, Ohio, places like that, and bought up everybody's mineral rights around us for 50 cents an acre. And that gave them the right to mine the coal. My grandfather thought he was just selling the deep mining rights for coal. But they would switch the deeds when the man started to sign it. He wouldn't realize that he was signing a broad form deed, which is a deed that includes everything, every kind of mineral, even salt water, under the ground. And some of them said, and any minerals that may be discovered in the future belong to these people who paid the 50 cents an acre. Some people couldn't write. They just made an X. My grandfather could write, but he swore he was just signing away the coal rights, and they messed up the deed with him. Well, it's still going on, that struggle now. They are the deep mining was bad enough. It was very hard on people. They had a lot. They started to make money. They had never seen any money before in that amount. They'd make $17, $18, $19 a day when they started, and that was big money. And so everybody had a job, all the young men. And then the mines closed, and they came back with big machinery and started stripping the hills from the top, doing strip mining. And that's what this song is about. It's about the destruction of strip mining to the waters and to the whole landscape. It's very, very steep mountains, and it should never have been stripped. It's still going on in some places. So here's the song that I did about this. It's another one of the first songs I ever wrote. It's called Black Waters. I come from the mountains, Kentucky's my home, where the wild deer and the black bear so lately did roam. By cool rushing waterfalls, the wildflowers dream, and through every green valley the Here's a song that I wrote about 20 years ago, and it's been recorded by a few people. You might have heard it on other records. Well, several of my songs have. Blackwater's has been recorded by a lot of folk people and used in films, documentary films and things. Bluebird song has been recorded by a few people, John McCutcheon and some others. This one was recorded, though, by a country musician. I just wrote it as a sort of a edge of country song. It's called My Dear Companion. And it was just recently recorded on an album called Trio by Dolly Parton and Linda Ronstadt and Emmy Lou Harris. So here's the way it used to sound. If I can remember it. Oh, have you seen my dear companion? For he was all this world to me. I hear he's gone to some far country, and that he cares no more for me. I wish I were some swallow flying, fly to high and lonesome place. There join the wild birds in their crying, remembering you and your sweet face. Oh, have you seen my dear companion? For he was all this world to me, but now the stars have turned against me, and so he cares no more for me. dark is on the mountain, oh, when the world has gone to sleep, I will go down to the cold, dark water, and there I'll spread me down and leave. Oh, have you seen my dear companion? Have you seen?
We've been listening to folk artist and scholar Gene Ritchie performing at the July 1990 Hiawatha Traditional Music Festival in Marquette. Our thanks to the Hiawatha Music Co-op and Southern Thunder Sound Company for helping to make this program possible. I'm Bill Hart. See you next time in the Pines.